I bring myself before you and I say, Lord, just use me. Because I know of myself, really nothing tangible or good can come. But with you, I know I can do all things. And I pray that, Lord, you use my mouth as a blessing to your body to encourage each one of us this morning through this talk. In Jesus' name. My spiritual hero and me. I just said, let me just start with the definition of this talk. You know, what is it? Because I kind of thought, spiritual hero, do I really have one? I said, okay, let me just look. What does this even mean? What does it mean? A person who is admired for having done something very brave or great, or having outstanding achievements. That's what the English dictionary says. A person who is admired for their courage and noble qualities. The main character in a book, I know we all know this, or you look at the superheroes and all that, and who is usually good. Usually good being the key word. Someone you admire very much and hence look up to. When I looked at these definitions, I really struggled to pin it down to anybody living that I knew that fitted the brief. And so I said, sometimes, you know, when you have a celebrity, as a child, I never had a celebrity. As a child, there were very few people I could look up to growing up. And so I decided, okay, I'm a grown adult now. Let me ask my children, who do you think my hero is? I think my son said, Mom, what do you mean? And then started to think. And given my life has been full of a lot of twists and turns, ups and downs, and people have impacted me in different ways, I may say, I really couldn't pin it down to somebody. But then I thought, okay, God, when you fill some forms, they'll say, who is your hero or who is your best friend or something like that. And the one person, and I really don't want to sound, you know, overtly spiritual or overtly righteous, is Jesus for me, so to say. And I was thinking about it. And I remember the Bible said in John chapter 1, said the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. You know, and that word is the word of God. And for me, the word of God, the place of prayer and worship have been the primary thing that have impacted my life. Having said that, I have admired the steps of faith that people have taken that have turned my life around. Like the person that preached, I can't even remember his name, that word of salvation. And I knew without a shadow of doubt that day I needed to give my life to Christ. Or the person, Pastor Alabi, that preached about the importance of having the infilling of the Holy Spirit and said, you will need this for the journey of life because it's not a matter of if, it is when those trials and temptation comes. Or, you know, the people that stood by me, and I can tell you the truth, some of them are not even Christians, but their acts of faith or their acts impacted my life to say, God, you are. Yes, and it's just those examples that have every time people have influenced my life in various ways. Maybe just one act, but I can tell you, I may not know anything about their lives, but in that moment, what they did has gone on to affect my life going forward. But I just want to talk about people in the Bible that have influenced my life, and you'll see how what I mean in a minute. Hannah, she was a woman of grace and favor. Hannah said, and if you want to, and I encourage us to look at Hannah chapter 1, chapters 1 and 2. Beautiful woman. Very early in my Christian walk, this woman kind of encouraged me, you know, has had a bigger impact on me. She said, I am a woman who is deeply troubled, she said, when she went into the temple to pray and was misunderstood. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring my heart out to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying out of the great anguish of my heart and grief. Or is it Ruth? This was a woman, the book of Ruth talks about it. I'm not going to dwell on the stories, but we know these stories. This was a woman who was in a foreign land, had married somebody who was not from her own land, and unfortunately died. Her husband died, sorry. Her brother-in-law died, her father-in-law died, and she was left with her mother-in-law and her sister-in-law. And so said, everybody go back to your tents. But this woman said, no, I have seen something different in your life, my mother-in-law. She said, don't urge me to leave you. Don't even try it or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. That's a powerful statement. You know, especially when you hear about daughters and mother-in-laws. But this woman saw something different and said, the God of this woman I want. And that is, even when things don't go the normal way, God puts somebody in your path to say it's okay and I'm with you. Or is it Joseph? He was a man of dreams, you know. And this was a man whose life was from the pit. You know, his brothers threw him in the pit. And then he ended up in the prison. And he became the prime minister of Egypt, so to say. We've heard that story. I think we read about it just in the book of Genesis, those who are following the Bible plan. And he was a forgiving man. He was a person that offered forgiveness. When he saw his brothers, he already recognized them. And in his heart, he already knew. He said, as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good. He said, there's no temptation that has overtaken you such as is common, but such as is common to man. This is one scripture that I love so much. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond. But with the temptation, also make a way of escape. We can also see Jeremiah 29:12, which we all know, that whatever we're going through as to God, we know that God's plan is being worked out in whatever we're going through. But that scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:13, helps me when I'm going through the lows or through the valleys. And as a lady, okay, let me just do this last one, virtuous woman. So there were three women, obviously I'm a woman, so you can see, but Joseph's life also encourages me that no matter how low we go, God can bring something beautiful out of it. And this woman, honestly, I don't know how she did it, but she did it, this virtuous woman. And in my role as a young lady, as a sister, as a wife, as a mother, as somebody, you know, in Christian ministry, and I believe that every child of God has a ministry at every stage of our lives, because as we know in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous life. I don't know where I'm. So, yes, this scripture also guides me, you know, in my day to day. I wouldn't say I am perfect. I'm still learning and I'm still trying to do this, but it's A scripture I learned very early on in my Christian life that guides me that even when I'm eating and drinking and nobody is there, it has to be all about God. So I look at these four characters, and I am encouraged by how their lives have challenged me as a young person, you know, to see God in my life, to wait on God, to not let go of God, even in those very low moments, to keep placing my faith in the one who can do all things, being strong in the face of trials and challenges, and knowing that, and he did talk about, God has given us everything. His divine power has given us everything I need for a godly life through my knowledge of him who has called me by his own glory and goodness. And this can be found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. You know, it's a scripture that when everything is seeming to go pear-shaped, I say, no, God has given me everything I need to live a godly life. I just want to focus anyway on somebody, on Hannah, the life of Hannah. And her life inspired me very on, as I said earlier, so much so I adopted her name. My baptismal name is actually Hannah. So it's not my birth certificate, but when I was to be baptized in water at the time, everybody had to have a Bible name that people recognized. And even though my native name means the Lord is worthy to be praised, it's not a name in the Bible like that, so to say. So, but Hannah's life was one that inspired me. And at the time, I just looked at this woman. This was a woman who, in her times, was seen as a nobody because she couldn't have a child. She was one of the two wives of Elkanah, and her wife, the other wife, kind of always pestered her. Year on year, they went to the house of God, and year on year, this woman pestered this woman that, who are you? You don't have children. But we don't read anything about Hannah's life retaliating back to Penina. She just took her problems to the Lord, as we read earlier on. Her story is one of faith, patience, and perseverance. And her story encourages us to wait with hope. Her name means grace. I didn't know it at the time when I adopted her name. But, you know, names are powerful. And I have actually seen names reflect in the life of people. You know, the name you call a child and how it reflects in their lives. And her name signifies God's mercy and grace, God's mercy and favor. And her story, like I said, is one of faith. She remains steadfast in her faith and belief that God will answer her. And she responded with grace and dignity, even in difficult situations. I think this is a challenge for me, and I'm sure maybe for some of us, that when people deride us, when people make fun of us, how do we respond? And so her life challenged me. And so when people say something about, you know, us, I get a caution. Are you an ambassador of Christ in this situation? Oh, you know, when that person cuts you off on the road, are we going to respond in the same way they, you know, talk to us or react to us? Not only that, her place, I think, her character, her personality came from a place of prayer. And we're being encouraged to deep into prayer again this morning. She prayed fervently. And specifically, I like that word, specifically, she knew what she wanted. And she wasn't praying a general prayer. She prayed fervently and specifically for a male child. And she hoped against hope. There was no sign at that point. She was in the temple of the Lord. There was no way, you know, she could know what is going to happen. Anybody in her circumstance will say, just give me a child. I don't care whether it's a boy, a girl, disabled or undisabled. Just make people know that I'm not barren. But she said, no, I want a male child that I am going to give back to you. That is a big one, honestly. You know, Hannah was sacrificial. She makes a sacrificial vow to the Lord. And its fulfillment are powerful reminders of the importance of surrender and commitment to God. You know, many of us, I think sometimes, you know, maybe you're looking for a job, you get the job, and the job is keeping us from the Lord. We ask God for something. But in this case, Hannah's life for me reminded me that when we pray to the Lord, even when we're asking for something, it is to know that He is the one that gave it to us. And so when we give it back to Him, He's only going to give us more. Just like the story of the talents, the five, the three, and the one. She sacrificially offered Samuel back to God, and God increased her by giving her more sons and daughters. All she wanted was a male child, but God gave her more. So the challenge and encouragement for me, Hannah was a woman of worship. When we look at the second chapter of 1 Samuel, if you look at from verses 1 to 10, this is a woman even before the other children came. This was after she had weaned Samuel and taken him back to the temple and giving him to the Lord. She now opened that God answered her prayer. She sang this song of worship unto the Lord. And I've just picked out one verse there. No one is holy like the Lord. No one is besides the Lord. There is no rock like our God. He is sovereign. He has made the heavens and the earth by his outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. This can be found in Jeremiah 32:17. He is our sovereign God. This was a woman, I just so love her and her spirit. The next one, my point says, asking for and offering forgiveness. You know, when I was looking at this, I don't know how it came to me, but we need to be in a place where, not just for sins, when we feel that we have done something that has impacted somebody's life negatively, or they feel it has impacted their life not the way they wanted. As Christians, I believe that we should be in a place where we ask for forgiveness and offer for forgiveness. Even though I wrote this scripture here, pardon me, my Lord. This was Anna coming back to Eli when she came to present Samuel to him, saying, please forgive me. It should be the other way around anyway, because Eli misunderstood this woman. She was in a place of prayer, pouring out her heart in so much anguish and grief, and she was misunderstood. Can you imagine maybe any of the leaders here one day coming to accuse you of something you haven't done? Some of us might not even come back to church, saying, how dare they talk to me like that? But this woman was a woman of, you know, grace. And she saw that she was misunderstood and did not let it affect the commitment she had made to God. She followed through in the place that God had put her for that season and time. So God places us in different places as a body of Christ at different seasons and time. And He wants us to follow through in whatever ministry He has put, you know, on our heart in that place. And we need to remember that our service is to the Lord, not to man. And that the person we're looking up to is not man, it's Christ himself. And so to know what God is saying to us, but we can only know that through prayer and the knowledge of the word in that season. So this woman came back. Pardon me. And obviously she had offered forgiveness. She didn't bear any grudge against this person. We see it also in the life of Joseph that we looked at. He didn't bear any grudge against his brothers. He said, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for such a time like this, you know. So offering forgiveness, what came to me in this, when I was looking at this, and in a new way, was sometimes people don't even have to ask us for forgiveness. We need to offer it, you know. They may not even be there because it brings about release. Because those people may not even be aware that maybe they have upset you or done something. And Jesus gives us paints a picture for us in this. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those people didn't even were not aware of what they were doing. They thought they were, you know, doing their religious service. But they were crucifying the King of Kings. They were crucifying the Prince of Peace. They were accusing him of what he had not done. Oh, yes, all to fulfill scripture. But somebody did it. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them. So place of forgiveness is very important in our Christian, I see, in my Christian walk. And then sacrifice. Anna made a vow. O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but give your maidservant a male child, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And so for me as a person, if I inadvertently open my mouth to make a vow, which many times I do without thinking about what I'm saying, I say, God, you have to enable me to deliver on this. Because, like David, I said, I'd rather fall into the hands of the Lord than into the hands of man, honestly. And God is always faithful. When we take that first step, as personally I've seen, when I am bold enough to take that first step, God always comes through. Hope and faith is very important. Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. And we do need to have faith, because the Bible also tells us that anything done out of doubt is sin. I tend to just stay put if I can, when I'm not sure about things. And sometimes I have failed in that area. And I said, God, please forgive me. And then we come back to a place of hope and faith. And this woman, after she prayed and opened her heart to Eli to say, no, I am not drunk. Don't consider me a wicked woman. I'm just pouring out the anguish of my heart. And Eli said to the woman, let your prayers be it unto you as you have requested. And you see this woman of great faith. At that place of prayer, she says, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. And the woman went away, Hannah went away, and ate. And her face was no longer sad for something that is yet to happen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hannah hoped and believed that what she prayed for will come to pass, even though nothing physical gave her that indication. Just faith in the word of the priest of God. And at that time, Eli's life and his children wasn't something one wanted to emulate. But she was no longer in anguish and grief. She came in with anguish and grief. She was so despondent, but she left with grace, knowing that the God of Israel had granted what she had asked of him. I wanted to play this song. Before we play that song, one of my greatest fears, because I think the brief was saying, what do you want to pray for? And I am always nervous as a child of God, because the Bible says judgment will start from the house of the Lord. Judgment is going to start with us. And one of my greatest fears is that, having done all, to say I'm a Christian for how many years, and on that day we might be found wanting. Because the Bible says even the very elect will be scarcely saved in that day. And if we look at the world around us, it doesn't encourage us to actually stay in faith, does it? There are a lot of things that maybe call for compromise, call for bending the rules, call for, you know, not doing things the right way. Even I have heard it said in the house of God that sometimes you may need to lie. God help us. But God is not calling us to that. He's calling us to a life of holiness and righteousness. And so I am praying that God would daily search me. And we have a theme for this year anyway, from Psalm 51. I would say, I call it my theme, to keep me on the straight and narrow. But Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there are any wicked ways in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. And I think for me, it's an important prayer. I'm hoping that for us it is, because the Bible tells us, and we know it, that the heart of man, when you see what men do to men, is desperately wicked. And it just takes something for sometimes for us to snap. But if we keep in the Lord and, you know, be honest with him in our secret places, then we know that by his grace, we will not be found wanting. Hannah said, and this we can't do on ourselves. That's why we need to keep ourselves in the word, in worship, and in prayer. And I'm just praying that God will enable me to do that. Because Hannah said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9, by our own strength, by strength no man shall prevail. We cannot prevail in our own strength. And that in all that we do, like I said earlier on, 1 Corinthians 10:31, said, whether you eat or drink. So I said to myself, Oyinlola, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It's my tongue, my thoughts, my words. I said, God, please help me to be a blessing to someone. And when we're sincere about it, many times you see that just that one text, just that one word can bring about a difference to somebody's life, like people have done in my life. You know, Pastor Alabi, I remember him till tomorrow, but I don't know anything about his life. I just remember his word in that moment. Or Samuel Oluyemi, you know, his word in that moment. Or people drop a word in that moment. And we are called to be the light to those around us. And I pray that God will enable us to keep in faith. Let me see if this will play as we planned. It's a song, it's still in the theme. I'm moving forward.
Yeah.
So these are my prayer points for me to keep focusing on. And I pray that the Lord would bless us as that. And this song, I don't know if we know it, but the words of those songs, when my life seems to be going kaput, then I need to remember that God is all this for me. My wonderful counselor, my teacher, redeemer, revealer, my healer, my strengthener, repairer, refiner, forerunner, my finisher, my conqueror, my deliverer, my restorer, my hammer, my redeemer, my defender, my instructor, my warrior, my shelter, my helper, my leader, my gatherer, refresher, rewarder, protector, inspirer, my portion forever, my Jesus, my Savior. Amen. God bless you.